Morning, Harvest City Church. Morning. Oh, you guys are awake this morning. That's good. My name is Gary Williamson. For those who do not know me, I'm part of the pastoral team here, and it's a privilege this morning to start preaching the word again and looking forward to our time together. I would like to begin with a verse of scripture. It says this: he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Holy Spirit is speaking. And Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come and speak to our hearts this morning and open our hearts up to what you are wanting to speak to each one individually and to us as a church this morning as well, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Holy Spirit speaking, and when he speaks, everything changes. I want to share with you a story about a boy, a young boy. He's a Jewish boy. His name was Shmuel. And he lived a long time ago, and he lived with an old man who was really heavy set, and he was had really bad eyesight, and he needed help. And so this young boy helped the old man out with some of his duties and things like that and personal care. And one night they're sleeping, and Shmuel hears his name being called, so he runs to the old man and says, "You called?" And the old man says, "No, I didn't call. Go back to bed." This happens three times that night, and on the third time, the old man clues in. He's like, "I think maybe God is trying to get attention of this young boy." So he says to the young boy, "So the next time you hear your name being called, say this, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that boy did that. On the fourth call, he hears his name being called. He says those words, and the Spirit of God downloads into this young boy's life a prophetic word so profound and strong and powerful for the old man. And not only that, but he started from that point on growing in his relationship with the Lord, growing in his understanding of who God was, growing in hearing the voice of God, beginning to prophesy to other people. This was in the nation of Israel. And it was during the time of the judges, and he was prophesying, and he was teaching, and he was communicating, and all his words were successful. None of the words that he spoke, or the prophetic words that he spoke, failed. It all came to pass, and he entered into this experience with God, and he was used so mightily by the Lord that he was a transitionary person from the period of the judges, which was a dark, evil time in the history of Israel. They were full of sin and rebellion against God, but he was able to bring life to them and bring them back into relationship with the Lord. He was transitioning them from the period of judges into the period of the United Kingdom. And he had the privilege and honor of anointing the first two kings of Israel, King Saul and then King David. And he was used powerfully by God because he had heard the voice of God. And we know him as Samuel, and the old man is Eli. Shmuel is his Hebrew pronunciation. And it changed everything when he heard that voice. It started this change, this domino effect in his life, and it influenced millions of people. And it set the kingdom of Israel up, and David coming into the line, which then, of course, we know that out of the lineage of David came the Messiah. God changed everything for Israel through the spoken word, the voice of God into this young boy's life. When God speaks, everything changes. Everything changes. It's an act of the Holy Spirit, and it fits in with our series that we're talking about this in this season. This was promised from old by the Lord. God's promised that he would going to do that. In the Old Testament, we see that God's voice speaking, but primarily speaking only to individuals, not to the masses. And Jesus was telling his disciples, and he was telling them that there's a promise coming in Luke 24:49. He says, "And now I'll send forth the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." And of course, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's poured out. The Spirit of God falls upon the believers and they are overwhelmed and they're speaking in tongues and they're staggering and into the streets. And the scoffers are saying, these are drunk. These people are drunk. That's why they're doing all this. And Peter says, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Give us a break. But he says this. He pulls back into the Old Testament a prophetic word from the prophet Joel. And he says this. He says, this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. That's me dreaming dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. You can't prophesy until you are able to hear the voice of God. But he says it's for you and it's for your children, your sons, your daughters. What he's speaking here is it's generational. It's for this generation and that Acts chapter 2 generation, but it's also for the other generations that follow, the generations that will come. It's for every generation who's got sons and daughters that we're all able as believers to hear the voice of God and to share it with one another, what God is speaking to us and being a source of blessing and experiencing the power of God in our lives. And this is, a scripture says also in John 14:26, Jesus saying, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I sent to you. See, Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not here in person, but he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you so you can have fellowship with me through the Holy Spirit. And it's so true that it is, every believer can experience this. In John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. You can't follow Jesus until you hear his voice. You don't know where he's going until you hear his voice. And how you hear his voice is by hearing the Spirit of God speak to you. And then you follow him. Jesus said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he speaks, whatever rather he hears, he will speak. So whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking, it's coming from the throne, coming from Jesus himself. And you can hear it. He gives another promise. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you're to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it's not you who speak, but it's the Holy Spirit. And so we have the promise that the Holy Spirit will be given to us as a helper, as a teacher, as a guide. And he does that through speaking to us. And this is for every believer. Not just for the spiritually elite, not just for the pastors or the prophets or the teachers. It's for each and every one of us. We all can hear the Spirit of God. That's his promise to us. That's what happened in Acts 2. That's what happened throughout the whole book of Acts. All the people were hearing and enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you an example from the book of Acts. I'm going to look at Philip the evangelist. I love the story about Philip the evangelist found in Acts chapter 8. Philip the evangelist, he starts his ministry because a great persecution comes upon the church and all the believers are scattered abroad. And he finds himself in the city of Samaria and he finds himself starting to preach the gospel. And as he's preaching the gospel, signs and wonders are happening. The paralytic are getting healed. Demons are being cast out. People are being born again. Samaritans are actually getting born again. And then he's baptizing them. And he's getting them all ready in the kingdom of God. And then the word comes back to Jerusalem, hey, the Samaritans are coming to Christ. And Peter and John said, well, we better go check that out because we're not so sure about this. So they make their way to the city of Samaria. And they, sure enough, after investigating, these believers are truly born again. These Samaritans really did come to Christ. They've been water baptized, but there's something missing. They have not yet been endued from on high with the Holy Spirit. They've not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit like we did in Acts chapter 2. So they started laying hands on them, and the Spirit of God fell upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power of God was all over them, much like Acts chapter 2, although it doesn't say that, but there was the Simon the sorcerer said, I want that power. He didn't want the power to kick out demons. He didn't want the power to see people healed, but he wanted the power to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit. He saw, that's power. That's life. He wanted that. And of course, Peter rebuked him for that desire. You can't buy that and that kind of thing. But the whole idea was this: Philip, the evangelist, got to this place of walking and listening to the Holy Spirit and being prompted and following him. And he finished the work of an evangelist in Samaria. And then the angel of the Lord comes to him and said, I want you to go to a road, a desert road that leads south from Jerusalem down to Gaza. And I want you to get on that road. I mean, it's a desert road. I mean, there's no one there. I don't know if there's any water there. I don't know. I mean, it's like there's no gas stations. It's like 50 or I think it's close to 80 kilometers long, they figure. And so he's on that road. He's walking along. Next thing you know, he sees a chariot that's going down the road as well. And in this chariot is a special person. This person is an Ethiopian eunuch. He's a treasurer to the court of Ethiopia under the Queen Candace at that time. He's very influential, no doubt. And he's a Jewish proselyte. He's on his way. He's just finished worshiping in Jerusalem. He's on his way home. And he's reading from a text in Isaiah 53, verse 7, I believe it was. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He's reading away. And in those days, they read out loud as they traveled. Just something they did. And then there's something very interesting happening. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. The Spirit said, the Spirit spoke to Philip. He heard it in his internal being. He heard it in his internal mind, in this inside part, if you will. And he's, oh, here. He wants me to join the chariot. So Philip has learned to be really quickly obedient. So he does. He runs alongside the chariot. And he hears him reading from the book of Isaiah. And he says to the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand? And he said, I don't know. I said, how can I understand this unless someone teaches me and guides me? So hop on in, Philip. So he brings him in, chariot, and then Philip preaches the gospel to him from Isaiah 53, verse 7. And he gets saved. And lo and behold, they find water on the desert road. Go figure. The Lord makes a way where there seems to be no way. And he gets water baptized, pulls him up out of the water, and immediately the Spirit snatches Philip up away from the Ethiopian eunuch. It just disappears into thin air. And Philip ends up in a place called Azotus. And then he starts preaching in Azotus, and he makes his way up the western coast of Israel and all the way up to Caesarea. He just keeps preaching the gospel as he's going. Gets to Caesarea, finds a beautiful young lady. Mary settles down, and he has four daughters. And of those four daughters, they all become prophets. He taught them to listen to the voice of God, and they became mightily involved, obviously, in the spreading of the gospel as well. And their lives were changed because Philip heard, go join the chariot. And it just set a domino effect upon his life. And he got to this place where he's just a powerhouse in God, learning and listening to the voice of God and really being used powerfully by the Lord. But also, the Ethiopian eunuch, we don't know for sure what happened to him. But it's believed that he was the one who brought the gospel to Ethiopia. No known missionaries have been in that country, apparently, but they trace it back to early origins, likely because of this Ethiopian eunuch bringing the gospel to Ethiopia. Another example of people hearing the voice of God and seeing things change. Like, it changed everything for Philip. It changed everything for that Ethiopian eunuch. He went on his way rejoicing. What a powerful impact. Could you imagine having someone preach the gospel to you, water baptize you, and then disappear into thin air? Boom! That would impact you. That would change you for life. Ananias, another example of this. There was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said, "Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." And so we have Paul. I'm going to call him Paul. He was Saul. He has this encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. I mean, if that's not enough, the Lord is so good to make sure that he seals what he's doing in our lives. And he brings Ananias into his life, but he had to speak to Ananias. He had to stir him. And Ananias had a little bit of questioning going on, but he finally responds and he ends up talking to Paul and he lays hands on him. Scales fall off his eyes. He's water baptized. It's also believed that he's spirit baptized at that time as well. And right after that, he starts preaching the gospel. Ananias heard, and he went, and he just spoke to Saul, and Saul's life is changed. He confirms the call of God on his life, and it just set a fire under Saul became Paul, and he just went, and he just preached the gospel right away. Changed everything for him. And then in Acts chapter 13, we're looking at the church in Antioch, a real model church. All New Testament churches want to be Antioch churches. They've got ministry galore. They've got multicultural leadership. They've got multi-generational leadership, young and old leaders working together. Much like here at Harvest City, we've got old and young working together and multicultural as well. So grateful and thankful for that. And I just am so looking at this, and it was just a wonderful experience there. And while they're ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them." And they did. And they sent Barnabas and Paul out into the mission field. And boy, did they make a difference. The whole world, known world at the time, was turned upside down because of the missionary work that they were doing and preaching the gospel, as well as others, I'm sure. And it was so life-changing for so many people because they'd heard, "Send out Paul, send out Barnabas for the work that I've called them." And they heard, they responded, they heard the voice of God, and it changed everything for Paul and Barnabas. Changed everything for that Antioch church. They were so excited when they got the reports back. All these Gentiles coming in to the kingdom of God. That's the Old Testament, New Testament samples. I'm going to give you some modern day examples. Well, not really modern. It's got to go back to 1987. We were in a church crisis, church leadership crisis. We lost our leader. And we were looking for a new leader, and me and Jerry Winicky and Dean Smith at that time were what left of the leadership team, and we had to find a new pastor. Dave Wells was the name that was given to us to check out, so we called Dave, said if he wouldn't mind coming to talk to us, and because we're, you know, your name has been recommended, and we want to have a chat. So he came and he sat down. And he tells us the most bizarre story I have ever heard. He said on his way back from Portland, he was at a conference, on his way back home to Manitoba, as he was driving along, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit speaks to him, "You're going to go to Regina and you're going to pastor Maranatha Christian Center. You're going to go to Regina and you're going to pastor Maranatha Christian Center." It was totally out of the blue. He'd not even thinking about the church. He had no idea that the church was going to be in need of a pastor. He thought this was crazy in some sense. But he just also sensed this is the Holy Spirit. And then as time went on, he had a number of prophetic words, other prophetic words that confirmed that word. And he's sharing this all with us. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, this is like right out of the book of Acts. Does God still speak like that today? Apparently, yes. And after he shared that with us, we had to kind of wrestle with it. Did he hear from God? Did he not hear from God? And we just kind of had to pray into it. And sure enough, over time, we just said, yes, he's heard from God. This is the will of God for us. He needs to be part of our church. And so we then made formal invitation for him to come. Of course, he accepted, and the rest is history. But it changed everything. Dave and Linda's lives was turned upside down, and they had to leave their rural community, come into the city community, and it was like total different, and they had to leave a nice, beautiful church where they had such close, loving relationships, and they're coming into a very skeptical of leadership place. We didn't trust leaders. And they had to gain our trust. It was really challenging for them. And their lives were turned upside down. Our lives had already been turned down upside down anyway. But that word changed everything. And when they came here, Dave started speaking to us and teaching us about church leadership, how we had to readjust the structure to make it more biblical, how we have elders on a board, and they're all equal. They have equal say. There's not a hierarchy. We have one pointed leader that's just in front, but he's not above. It's all equal eldership team, and we've based all of our teams in the church have similar models where it's a team model, team, a cooperative of leadership, and it works so well. And it's brought so much healing and so much direction and so much fruit to the church. He also taught us on how to walk not in legalism, because we were quite legalistic back then, and brought us into walking in grace and the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And so it changed everything. Our school was 3 times the size it was back then. We had a Bible school start. We have Global Impact. We've got inner healing ministries. We've got preschool. We've got Sunday school ministries that are growing and that are fruitful, that are healthy, that are moving. And we've got Lift Now going on. Wow. All because God says, go to Regina. Pastor Maranatha Christian Center. It was straightforward. It was a declarative word. This is what you're going to do. Thank God he said yes. Our lives have been impacted. Our lives have been changed by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaking. It was June 1975, June 25th. I take this young lady on a date. I said, would you like to go with me to a graduation dance? She said, yes. I didn't know if she liked to dance or not. Back in those days, it was kind of taboo for Christians. But she said yes. So I said, okay, let's go. And we went to this graduation dance. We did a polka. One polka. And at the end of that polka, we realized we are not dance partners. Not in the least. So I said, would you like to go for a walk? She said, sure. So this is at the Center of the Arts. Back then, we called it the Center of the Arts. Now the Conexus Arts Center. Walked across that driveway, and across the driveway, there's a patio area there. It's the cool of the night. It's dark, but the lights are on. It's really nice. And she's got this white shawl on, I remember. So really cute. And we're just talking back and forth, having a great time, and just getting to know one another. And then the Holy Spirit spoke. This is the one. And I heard it was clear. It was like, whoa. And I knew I heard from the Holy Spirit. Of course, I didn't tell Mary right away. I left it for, I can't remember when I told her, but that was much, much later. 4 years later, we are married. Hallelujah. And it changed everything. Our lives have changed. Marriage changes everything. But because we heard the voice of God, I had such confidence to enter into a relationship with her and be married. Then there was another time when God spoke to my heart. I had gone through a real season of many, many years of high anxiety, lots of fear in my life, and OCD tendencies. Really bad. It was over the top. And back in the 1990s, and I worked in this place called Fast Print. It was a print shop, really high energy place and high expectation place. And it was just really a challenge to work there, but it was also not helping my anxiety at all. So it was just growing and growing. And then I remember one day I was standing in one of the offices, and I was really stewing. I was really worried about something. And the Holy Spirit come alongside me. And he said, trust me with this. Four words again. So clear, so evident. I knew the Holy Spirit had spoke to my heart about it. I knew it was him. And from that moment on, God began to change in me my perception and understanding of stress and how to work with it and how to deal with it and learning to, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Learning to say it out loud, learning to apply that thought to my life. It had now become a rhema word from the Logos word. We know in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And that scripture became now rhema to me, became alive to me, and I applied it into my life, and it changed everything for me. You know, I've been talking to different ones, and there are people that do struggle with hearing the voice of God. And I want to share with you some points just in conclusion here, real quickly, just a quick little teach, some summary points of how to hear the voice of God. Some best practices in learning to listen to the voice of God. The first thing, is learning to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he. He's a person. And he loves to fellowship with us. He loves to us to come and spend time alone with him and be with him. Hallelujah. And cultivate that listening attitude of prayer, calming our heart, calming your spirit as you get into a place alone with the Lord. Have a journal with you or a device you can type on and write out the first things that come to your mind. Just write them down. Doesn't have to make sense, doesn't matter. Just start writing, start journaling. It helps to open your spirit to what he's saying because he's speaking to you. Remember, it's about fellowship. It's not a religious experience. Did you do your devotionals today? Right? It's not about ticking off the box. It's about, okay, I want to spend some time with God now. I'm just going to call my spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Your servant's listening. Let him speak to your heart. Let him speak into your life. He wants to. Someone has said this, the more you know God, the more clearly you hear God. So spending time alone with him will help you get to know him. Spending time in the word will help you get to know him as well. Then the other best practice about listening to the voice of God is you need to evaluate what you're hearing. First, you need to recognize that God speaks in a variety of ways. He uses a small, still voice, like impressions or thoughts that are not your own, that just kind of come out of nowhere. And then the Holy Spirit bears witness with that, so that you know that you've heard from the Holy Spirit. God takes a highlighter as well, just over your scriptures, and he just likes highlight verses and brings them out to you, like the rhema word that I talked about earlier. And then that way he also speaks, very commonly speaks that way. He also uses dreams and visions. And if you're so blessed, angelic visitations. He uses the prophetic people, teachers, ministers, overseers, sometimes parents, etc., and leaders to speak into your life. So you just need to recognize the different various ways, and that's just a number of them. That's not necessarily all of them. But one of the things you need to ask yourself when you're listening to the voice of God and you're hearing something, does it line up with the attributes and characteristics of God? In other words, is this word come pure? Is it come holy? Is it come with wisdom? Is it come seasoned with grace? Is it full of love? Or is it condemning? If you have a condemning voice come to you, that is never the Holy Spirit. But a lot of us entertain those condemning voices. When you do that, it's not him. I can tell you, that's an easy one to discern. If it condemns, it's not the Holy Spirit. Does it sound like God would say this or something like he would say? And the way you determine that, again, is spending more and more time with him. Is it scriptural? Is it in the Bible? Is it contrary to the Bible? Is it what you heard in contradiction to what the scripture says? If it does, it's not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the word always agree. Is it wise? Can be a question that you can ask. Is it something that Jesus would do? Is it something that other leaders would do? Is it something that, if it's a directional word, is there wisdom to it? And then the last, does it fit my wiring? Is it who God has made me to be? Now, for example, if I were to hear the voice, a voice to say to me, Gary, I want you to quit your job, go to school, become a neurosurgeon. It's not my wiring. I'm not wired like that. Even more closer to home, if he were to say, Gary, I want you to move to India to be a missionary, I could probably quite easily dismiss it. I'm not wired to be a missionary. I'll do the odd short-term mission trip from time to time, but I know I'm not wired to be a missionary. God knows that too. I mean, I'm willing, obviously, to whatever the Lord wants to do, but it wouldn't likely be that. I'm a homegrown guy, local church person, yeah, and this is my wiring here, to serve the local church, teach, preach, whatever, serve, stack some chairs, you know? That's my wiring. So know who God has wired you to be, and that is it. So that's kind of that. Would you just stand with me, please? Because I know that sometimes it can be challenging to learn to hear the voice of God, but we are in a season of time where the Spirit of God is stirring, and He is just really wanting us to come into that place of intimacy with Him and start hearing Him individually and then also hearing Him corporately. It helps us to hear corporately when we start to really hear individually. I'm going to pray a quick prayer over you that God just continue to open your ears. And for those of you who are having difficulty hearing, I'm going to take authority over anything that might be stopping that. So let's do that right now. So Father, I do. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise that you are giving us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I pray, Lord God, that each one in this room and online would begin to hear afresh the Holy Spirit. Lord, that there'd be a determination to spend time alone with you, even just a few minutes a day, just to get into your presence and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I ask, Lord, for those that are struggling to hear the voice of God, that, Lord, that you begin to open their ears, that you come against whatever blockade is holding them back from hearing your voice, that it would come clear and evident to them, and you would remove that from them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for those that always hear condemning thoughts and thoughts that are not of you. Lord, we just cancel those thoughts out in the name of Jesus, and we declare those people to arise, give them strength to resist those thoughts in Jesus' name. And I pray for a blessing upon this church and those online today with the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we go our way. Fill us with your presence and give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Bless you, church.